Continuing the reading of Dante's Inferno, translated by Robin Kirkpatrick, published by Penguin, we come to Canto 9. The colour that courage failing brought out so quickly in me, seeing my leader retreat, made him, the sooner, check his own new pallor. Intently, as though listening hard, he stopped, eyesight unaided in that blackened air, through foggy dense swirls could not carry far. This contest, even so, we're bound to win. If not, he began, yet granted such a one, how long to me it seems till that one comes. I saw quite clearly how he covered up his opening thoughts with those that followed on, words inconsistent with the first he spoke. Yet fear came over me at what he had said, and from these truncated words I drew a meaning worse, perhaps, than he had meant. Into the hollow deep of this grim bowel, do any make their way from that first rung where nothing save from thwarted hope brings pain? I put this question to him. Seldom, he said. It happens rarely that our people take the path that I am venturing to tread. It's true, of course, I've been here once before, conjured to come by bitter Erichtho, she who called shadows back into their limbs. A short while only was I bare of flesh, until, as she compelled, I breached these walls to fetch a spirit from the Judas ring. That is the utmost deep, the darkest place, the furthest from the sky's all-turning sphere. I know the way. Be confident, be sure. This marsh, exhaling such a nauseous stench, forms in a belt around the mournful town, and not without due anger shall we enter in. He said much more, but what I can't recall. My eyes, in all attention now, were drawn towards the blazing summit of that gate, where suddenly, at one point, there had sprung three blood-stained furies from the depths of hell. In pose and body they were, all three, women, wound round about with water snakes, bright green, fringing their vicious brows they bore as hair entwining snakes. Their curls were sharp horned vipers, and he, who knew quite well that these were slaves who served the Empress of Unending Tears, said to me, look, the cruel Eumenides, that one's Magareira, on the left-hand side, weeping there stands Alecto on the right. Tisiphone's between these two, he paused. Each rent her breast, with her own fingernails, with slapping palm. Each beat herself and screamed so loud I strained all doubt against the poet. Come now, Medusa, turn him quick to stone. Staring hard down, they spoke in unison. The Theseus raid went unavenged. We're wrong. Turn around your back to them, your eyes tight shut, for if the Gorgon shows and you catch sight, there'll be no way of ever getting out. He spoke, and then himself he made me turn, and not relying on my hands alone to shield my eyes, he closed his own on mine. Look hard, all you whose minds are sound and sane, and wonder at the meaning lying veiled beyond the curtain of this alien verse. Already, across the turbid swell, there came a shattering resonance that, charged with panic, evoked great tremors down each riverbank. In this way, too, a driving wind, impelled by clashing currents through the burning air, strikes at a grove and, meeting no resistance, splinters the branches flat and bears them off. So proudly on it goes, in clouds of dust, shepherds and beasts all fleeing in its path. He loosed my eyes. And now, he said, stretch straight your strings of sight across this age-old scum to where the fumes are thickest, stinging most. Like frogs that glimpse their enemy, the snake, and vanish rapidly across the pond, driving till each sits huddling on its bed, I saw 1,000 ruined souls or more scattering in flight ahead of one whose pace passed, yet kept dry across the river Styx. The greasy air he wafted from his face, his left hand drawn before him as a fan, and this was all the strain, it seemed, that tired him. I saw full well that he was sent from heaven. I turned towards my teacher, and he sighed that I should bend in silent deference. How full he seemed to me of high disdain. He reached the gates, and simply with his rod he opened them, for nothing held them firm. Outcasts from heaven, driven beyond contempt, thus in that dreadful doorway, he began. How is such truculence bred up in you? Why such recalcitrant against that will whose aim and purpose never can be maimed, which has so often now increased your pain? What is the point? Why kick against your fate, your guard dog Cerberus is still, remember, hairless for doing so at chin and neck. He then turned back along the filthy road. He spoke no words to us. He had the look of someone gnawed and gathered up by care, though not the cares that here confronted him. For now we set our tread towards that land the holy words had made us confident. We entered, and no force was offered us, so eager to survey what such a fort could lock within the confines of its walls. When once inside, I cast my eyes about. I see a plain extending all around, and everywhere is grief and racking pain. Compare, in Arles, the Rhone there forms a marsh, or else in Pollage by the Varner Gulf, which shuts the door on Italy and bathes its bounds, are sepulchres that made the ground uneven. And so too here, a tomb at every turn, except that all was done more bitterly, for flames were scattered round among these tombs. The pits were therefore so intensely fired, no tradesman needs his brand iron half so hot. The covers of the tombs all stood half raised, and out of each there came such cruel lamenting. These must have been the cries from pain within. And I to my master, who can these all be, these people buried in the sepulchres? They make their presence felt in such pain sighs. The answer, these are the master heretics, with all their followers from every sect. These tombs are filled with more than you suspect. Those of like mind are buried each with each. The monuments are all at differing heats. He turned towards the light. Then on we went, between the torments and high battlements. End of Canto 9 of Dante's Inferno. Translated by Robin Kirkpatrick. The story continues.